So thank you, Lord, for your great love for us, and never leave us without a word that would touch our hearts and open us more to your loving presence. We ask you, Lord, that you would just speak to us in the quiet of our hearts this day. We'd be listening, we'd be attentive, we'd hear what you were saying. We praise your name. I think one of the great afflictions that can oppress the human heart is when we found ourselves bound by shame and guilt. When you wake up in the middle of the night and you're confronted with things that have happened in the past, that you know that there's been some level of forgiveness, but you're still affected by it. And it still makes you cringe. And you feel unclean, and you feel that somehow or other you're consequently a little worthless because of that. Hard to deal with the past in a way that sets us free. I've noticed that most of us have skeletons in the closet that we have hidden away very well, but we ourselves know what has happened. And every now and then it will surface within us and we'll feel self-condemnation, self-accusation. We won't feel very comfortable with ourselves. We won't feel free, but feel sort of bound up somewhat by the things of the past that still beset us. I think the readings speak to this today. In the first reading, we heard something about how in the delivering hand of the Lord, that Israel experienced that the past is now gone and that God's now doing a new thing in their lives. God is always about a new thing. The new Spirit of God comes upon us and liberates us and sets us free so that we don't have to be bound up by the things of the past that come against us, where we can be lacerating ourselves within and whipping ourselves for what we did and not forgiving ourselves. There's a secret and there's a grace to be able to forgive oneself, to let yourself off the hook. If we were to ask people here, what was the worst thing in your life, the worst thing you've done? Not many of us would like to talk about it because we're so ashamed of it. But it can still be there somewhere within and belittling us, making us feel less than we're meant to be in God, and holding us back maybe from greatness, because the Lord would call us to a greater thing. He doesn't want us to be held back. Now, St. Paul's an interesting character, isn't he? Now, look at his past. He says, I was a merciless persecutor of Christians. I set out to slaughter them. And we know that he was responsible for the death of Stephen, the first martyr, and maybe for many others that are unrecorded, because he seems to indicate that he was really an angry man, ready to slaughter anyone who would profess the faith in Jesus Christ. And yet we hear that beautiful reading, the second reading today, where Paul says, because he's had the revelation, He's had the encounter with Christ at such a depth that now he's able to say, you know, I consider there's nothing that could happen that outweighs the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Now I consider everything else as rubbish, as long as I can have Christ and a place in him. See, he's encountered the risen Christ at such a depth that he knows that he's been totally forgiven. And he knows that the precious blood of Jesus shed for him on the cross has cleansed and purified him deeply. He knows that all this is God's mercy. It's the work of God upon him that he didn't deserve at all. And that's why the whole of his gospel message is a message of mercy, the mercy of God. No one earns this. No one deserves it. But it's given by God. It's such a wonderful thing to know in the depth of my spirit that I'm forgiven. And that God's not holding a finger against me in some way in accusing fashion. Not, God's not sort of pointing me out in the crowd, as it were, and saying, ah, you're the rotter that in 1954 you remember what you did. And you're still feeling he holds that against you in some way. But he's not like that, you see. And Paul knew this. And that's why he says, in the next line, he says, I'm no longer striving for the perfection that comes from the law, but rather that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, when we're striving for our perfection that comes from the law, what that means is we know what the law is, and we know we've done lots of wrong things, and we've gone down wrong alleyways, and we've gone into pits that are so deep for some of us that we should never have maybe been able to get out of them, but God has pulled us out of them, right? And that's the truth of our lives, the darker side of our lives, you know. But I'm no longer striving for perfection that comes from the law, which just shows me all of my sinfulness. That's all the law can do, and makes me feel rotten about myself because I can't accomplish that perfection. And so I'm always falling off the ladder of perfection and kicking myself and accusing myself and hating myself because I'm not achieving the holiness I know I'm meant to achieve. I'm not striving like that, he says, anymore. Rather, I'll have the perfection that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, my Saviour. Jesus Christ, the font of mercy. Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross for me. Jesus Christ, who shed the last drop of his blood for me. He's the one who I'll put my faith in. And through him, I'll know I'm set free. He says, all I want is to know that Christ. All I want to know is Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. Because through his resurrection, there's been victory in such a way that I'm set free. I don't have to be bound up by my past anymore. No matter what's happened in the past, I can walk free, liberated, new, a new creation in God by the work of God within me. And of course, the gospel presents this very strongly to us, doesn't it? You know the story so well. The woman that's caught in adultery, a shameful thing, especially in those days. And so she's being dragged out before Christ by these men who have set upon her. And it's a terrible thing, isn't it, that the woman gets shamed and the man goes free. What a rotten thing that is, and how often that's happened. And there she is, trembling, because you see, by that law, she was to be stoned to death. You've heard of that Sharia law, huh? She was to be stoned to death for what she's done. No wonder she's trembling before him, you know. And they're accusing her, all the fingers pointing at her, you see. Now, maybe you've never been in that situation, we trust you haven't. But what happens is that we have done things inside that we know about and that inside us there are a lot of accusations, the accusing voices interiorly. You're rotten, you're hopeless, you're never going to make it. You know, you're a sinner through and through. You may as well give up. You're just got no future. The accusing voices within, condemning us, the grand inquisitor, as it were, within us. And so she's there before Jesus. Jesus starts just writing on the ground. We're not sure what he was writing, but he could have been writing the sins of the men. We don't know. But anyway, he looks up then and he says, "Let the one who is without sin cast the first stone." And of course, they all start moving off from the oldest to the least. And then he turns to her. He actually looks up at her, it says. She's standing there trembling. And she sees in his eyes the mercy. The mercy of Christ. That's what Paul saw. He saw the mercy of Christ. That's what Peter saw. The mercy of Christ. After he denied the Lord 3 times, he saw the mercy. She saw the same mercy. She saw that he accepted her. This is such a great grace. To know in the depth of your heart that you are acceptable to God. You are accepted by him, even though oftentimes your behavior has been unacceptable, as hers had been. But you are acceptable. He created you and he loves you and he's never turned his face away from you. You are accepted by him totally and unconditionally. And she experienced that. And that liberated her. Notice he said, "Go sin no more. Correct your behavior. Change." And he gives, in that, of course, gives her the power to do that through the acceptance that he gives to her. And she goes off, liberated. My friends, interiorly, we need that experience. The grace of the sacrament of reconciliation brings us that grace of acceptance, that grace of forgiveness, that grace of the mercy of God, that he's not going to hold our faults against us. That's something that we need to remember, that God does not hold our faults against us, and he liberates us so I don't hold them against myself anymore. That's a great grace, isn't it? "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. If you, O Lord, should hold our sins against us, you know, who could stand? If the Lord was to hold our guilt against us, who could we stand? Who could stand here? I couldn't stand before you now. But with you, Lord, there is forgiveness." This merciful heart of God. And we're the ones who have been drawn into the mercy of God. Come to sort of know in our hearts his merciful love for us. So let yourself off the hook. Stop those accusing thoughts. Stop those self-condemning sort of ways of thinking about yourself and all the things of the past. If we've gone to the sacrament of reconciliation, the Lord has forgiven us. Then we can let go of our shame. Jesus took all the shame and guilt upon himself on the cross for our sake, so that we can walk free. Now, he cancelled the guilt that was owing towards our sin, it says, and he paid the debt for us. And once we've confessed our sin, once we've opened it up to him, then he sets us free. I don't have to be feeling belittled anymore or put down by the things of the past, even though they've been maybe quite horrendous. God in his mercy has come. And you see, and when we know this within ourselves, then of course we don't become the accusers of others. We don't become the Pharisees, scribes and the Pharisees accusing people for what they've done. We're set free. So we have a compassionate heart, the compassionate heart of Jesus, that the church so much needs at this point in time, and that people would discover, because you see, people out there are not discovering this merciful heart of God. They're discovering a lot of judgment, a lot of condemnation, a lot of lawsuits and all sorts of cases brought against them, but they're not discovering mercy. And we're the ones who have come to know the mercy of God. It says in 1 Peter, once we were not a people, but now, by God's mercy, we have become a people. Once we were outside the mercy, and now we've come to know the mercy of God. And because we come to know the mercy of God in our own lives, then we can be a font of mercy for other people. We can be an icon of mercy. They can find in the church the mercy that cannot be found anywhere else. They can find in us, we trust. If we're liberated by the mercy of God, then we'll be instruments of mercy for others. And we won't be making condemnations. Unfortunately, isn't it unfortunate that the way the media presents the church is that we're about condemnation? That we're about sort of telling people their sins and condemning them for their sins and that sort of stuff. That's how we're presented. Now, maybe part of that has been because the church itself has failed in the way that we've really lived out the gospel of mercy. Part of it, of course, is just simply a judgment in a wrong way. It's a distortion of the truth. But whatever about it, certainly the way that people need to experience the church, they need to experience us who are the church, they need to experience mercy, the merciful heart of Christ. There's no condemnation. There's no accusation. There's simply welcome. There's acceptance. There's love. There's the readiness to forgive. And there's the availability of the sacrament of reconciliation. It's such a beautiful grace when people can come and just pour out their heart to God and be set free. And where there's no accusation or condemnation upon anybody, no matter what their style of life, no matter what their way of doing things. But there's a welcoming heart. There's a voice that says, you are acceptable. You are acceptable. Even though you might smell a bit, even though you might have bad habits, and even though you might be a big sinner, but you are acceptable in your person. We respect the dignity of every human person. And want every human person to find a shelter under the shadow of the wings of God to be found in His holy church. So, my dear friends, let's celebrate the mercy of God. Let's allow the Jesus who we receive here tonight, the one who we know already, but who will bring us into a deeper knowledge of Him, let's allow Him to bring our hearts to a deeper freedom interiorly. So we're not bound up by the things of the past. He's doing a new thing now, making you into a new creation, making us into new people, people who we know our brokenness is still there, we know our woundedness is there, the wounds of the past we still carry, and some of us have had much wounding in one way or another, but they don't have to be wounds that drag us down and make us less than who we're meant to be in God anymore. Because Jesus took our wounds upon Himself on the cross, and from that flows healing. And so we can walk now as wounded healers ourselves. Our wounds become fonts of love for others in a strange and marvelous way. And so nobody here has to feel that somehow or other, because of the things of the past, I'll always be held down, I'll never be able to attain greatness in God. Wrong. The good news is that you can be great in God. No matter what's happened in the past, look at Paul. Look at Peter. These great pillars of the faith. They denied the Lord. Now, Paul hated the church. God in His mercy came upon their lives, as He has upon us, and set them free. So walk in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God who know the mercy of the Lord, and let's have mercy on others. Let's welcome people under this wonderful grace that we have experienced, the heart of God's mercy, and bless His name.